Hey, Jacob.
Yeah.
What does a high schooler who is grappling with coming out as gay to his family and friends and the lone survivor of a horrific massacre by space aliens have in common?
Whoa. I don't know. What do they have in common?
Let's find out.
All right. Because this week, I watched Love, Simon.
And I watched Aliens.
And now it's time for us to make
the movie connection.
And we are in. Welcome, boop, boop. Everybody. Hello. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
Sorry, I'm trying to get better at like letting people know, because if this is your first time coming in, you know, yeah,
you're like, who are my these sister. People?
Like, yeah, and I'm the brother. That's, you know,
we're
that's,
related.
Yeah, there you go.
It's true.
So welcome in. This is the podcast, The Movie Connection, where every week we sit down, we pick two different movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're so vastly different, like this week, sometimes not so different. And we talk about the movies individually, and then we bring them together and try to figure out
mm-hmm.
what connects them.
Yeah, totally.
Is there a connection?
Right.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so far we've so been good. Able to loosely sometimes. Find connections. Sometimes they're really strong connections.
Yeah.
It just depends, you know?
Some that you don't typically think of. Sometimes, like, I think every time, like, you've thought of some that I haven't thought of,
and you
know,
you totally
vice versa.
Think, yeah, you totally do the same.
Goodness gracious. But welcome in. This week we watched some very vastly different movies.
So different, guys.
I got to watch Love, Simon.
Yeah, I'm so happy you got to watch it, too.
It was really good.
Oh, so
I love
good.
Me a good, you know, coming-of-age story.
Me, too.
I
I'm
know
a sucker
you do.
For it, yeah.
So you got to mix them up, too, going
I know.
Forward.
I am
it's
a sucker
yeah.
for it because I have, like, a lot on my list. Yeah. And when I assigned you this one, I was like, okay, that means this other one is going to have to
wait
like,
yeah.
multiple episodes. But that's okay.
Yeah, right.
I have other movies I like, too. I always think that there's so much to be learned about yourself.
Yeah.
And I love that part in everybody's life, you know?
Right. Of course.
So
and that's what coming of age stories do. They cause you to reassess your life.
Totally.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're always coming of age. It doesn't matter, you know, like the typical go-tos were the, like the Stand By Me's, which is prepubescent.
Oh, yeah.
And then
totally
the
great.
Pubescent.
Totally.
You know, type ages. But, you know, and then, like, around 90s, 2000s, we did start making more movies where it's like, you know what, 30, you're coming of age still.
Yeah, you're figuring your shit out.
And then 40, yeah, you know what, you come of age again. And then,
totally.
Yeah, you know, because there are these very pivotal moments in your life that
absolutely.
Are coming of ages.
Absolutely.
In their own way.
And, like, something I like is that you can relate to it. Always, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can relate to,
hopefully.
You know,
these... Otherwise, you might be dead inside. You know?
Right. You can, like...
It might be like Chandler from Friends.
Oh, poor Chandler.
Yeah, but you're dead inside.
I know. But, yeah, no, I...
Yeah.
Oops, shoot. I really like stories like that, though.
For sure.
At any age, though, you're right. Like, I definitely have watched some really excellent millennial-esque movies... About them finding themselves in their 20s, you know?
Yeah, right. See, exactly.
Because it is. It's like you. It's like every 10 years you have to sort of, like, unless you're insanely in tune with yourself, you
right.
sort of have to sit and be, like, going through, like, a big change or trying to, you know, figure some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Discover
exactly.
new things about yourself.
I know. And sometimes you survive an alien attack and find yourself...
57 years later.
In the future.
What the fuck?
These things happen. These things happen.
Do they?
But they're gonna. Like, have you read the news lately, Casey? We got billionaires all racing to get to
yikes.
Get to space.
Yikes.
What is happening, everybody? What are we doing?
It's such a valid question.
And we're gonna actually, it's, yeah, we'll get to it.
Will we?
We will.
Great.
Because this movie, Aliens, did make me kind of rethink that. It is kind of weird timing, right? Like, at the time of this recording, it is definitely part of the news, you know, there's like a race by billionaires to get into space, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
It's weird as shit.
It and is so weird.
Some of them are doing, like, these big contests to let people come with them. It's fucking...
It's weird.
Yeah.
Started with Bezos, of course, like everything, right?
Everything does.
And then every billionaire wanted to do it.
Right, and it's just like, really, guys?
It's so stupid. It's
like, also, like...
Why is this newsworthy?
Yeah. Let's tax you guys some more. So
yeah! Do it! Get up and remember to vote, everybody.
Vote.
So, I think last week, Casey, you went first, so I'm going to start things off by talking about my movie.
Woohoo!
Mine. It is my movie.
Your movie.
It is called Love, Simon. Okay, so gonna start out with a little synopsis. Simon Spear, and I spelt it like Spear, like Britney Spears. Apparently it's spelled S-P-I-E-R. My bad. So Simon Spear has a typical life. Two loving parents, a tolerable sister, and a supportive group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Simon's got a secret. He is gay. He goes to a school with only one other out gay kid who is accepted, but Simon knows that once the truth is out, everything will change. He confides in an online friend who goes by the alias Blue, and Simon takes on the handle Jacques. And the two engage in constant emails, cultivating a safe space to discuss their shared secret of identity.
Mm-hmm.
After an accident that leaves his emails exposed, Simon is blackmailed by a fellow student, Martin Castle, who is a shamelessly accurate depiction of the high school theater kid, I am very sad to say. It kind of gives us a bad name. We're not all like that. It just kind of feels that way. It's like, you know, that the starved for attention, like... Yeah. Anyway, Martin wants Simon's help appealing to a girl, and Simon obliges in an effort to protect his secret and Blue's trust. After a series of lies and manipulations at the expense of his friends, Simon is outed and must go about mending some fences and reintroduce himself to his surroundings. The question remains, who is Blue, and will they ever be able to meet?
Good synopsis.
Spoilers ahead, everybody. I think we need to start doing that. I get like just for new people. But you know, I kind of figure, you know.
Yeah, hopefully you guys have seen it.
Yeah.
It came out, I think, in
very recently, 2017.
And the book came out in 2015.
I'm pretty impressed with a lot of, we're doing pretty recent stuff for the most part.
We are. I
2018.
2018, yeah. And the book was written in 2015. And the book is called Simon versus the Homo Sapien Agenda.
Yeah, yeah. Good title. And they did want it to be called that, but I get it.
Like, it was too long.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
The book is excellent.
Ah, good.
The movie's
have you
great,
read it?
Too. Yes. Yeah, I...
Yeah.
I really like that author. She's a child psychologist.
Oh, I wonder who did the audiobook, honestly. That could be fun, too.
I wonder.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, that would be excellent. He's got such a good narrator voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the book is really good.
Good.
And the movie, I think they did
it's
a pretty...
It's a female author, though, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
She's a child psychologist and particularly helps, you know, the queer community.
Good, good.
She made sure, you know, some of these characters are semi-based off them, but she changed everything
about
them.
Like, I'm glad.
Obviously.
Right.
But yeah, she actually has another book that I really like.
It's a sequel to this one, right?
I haven't read any of the other ones.
Okay.
Because
this is
three.
Part of a series, I guess.
Yeah, there's three of them, and they have the same, like, some of the same characters, but they're different kids' stories, which I think is cool.
I think Leah, was that her name, Leah?
Yes,
Leah is the main character of the second one. Which
yes.
I could see, I was wondering if there would be something to that.
Something there, yeah.
Tell me something good.
No, the other book, I'm trying to find it, that she wrote, she co-wrote it with another author who is gay himself.
Ah. Cool.
And, you know, I think he also weighed in on this book.
Oh, so she might
really
be an
cool.
author to look at.
Yeah, she's great. Nice. I'm sorry I can't find the name of the other book, but it's really fucking good. So if you cool. Google her name, you'll be able to find it.
Perfect. overall good movie. Like I said, like I do like these coming of age stories. Feel like it's a very accurate portrayal of modern day high schools. Granted, I haven't been to high school in a little bit. It's so old.
Same.
No. But no, haven't been to high school in a while. But to me, it still feels
relevant.
And like, what I liked is that it felt very like modern, but not like too time capsule-y. Like some of these movies can feel like very like of like too of the moment.
Yes, I agree.
Like Easy A even almost rides that line. Like
it feels almost very
2000 whatever
year.
Well,
when you watch it, like you know that it's not completely current.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you know, you with the outfits and also the Natasha Bedingfield or whatever her name is. I got a pocket, got a pocket.
Oh yeah. See exactly.
I can't
very
hear that
of the
song
moment.
Without thinking of that movie.
Yeah, that's not exactly a lasting hit, is it?
No.
Yeah.
And she had hits, but they were all like in the 2010s.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right.
And that's kind of where she lives in my head.
Yeah.
Even though she might be famous still, I don't know.
So I'm really interested to see what all of these kids do, honestly. Like, I think, and most of them are booking jobs, so good
that's
for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this is pretty recent. So 2018, probably filmed around 2015-ish.
Well, no, that's when the book came out, was 2015.
Oh, so no, 2016, 2017.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So let's get
Excuse
into
me.
It.
Yeah, Q&A sesh.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Okay.
Well, Ow!
You asked for it. I'm excited that you mentioned Martin. Let's talk about him. What did you think of his character?
So...
You already sort of mentioned that
yeah,
you feel
like
he
Yeah, like I said,
is...
I feel like he's a very... So, I was a theater kid.
Yeah, totally.
And so, I relate on a certain level to Martin, not to... Too. I don't want to align myself too closely with him.
Yeah, please don't be mean.
But I'm just saying, like this, he's clearly starved for attention. You know, very unawares of his surroundings and everything like that. So that's got a level of privilege going with it. So you know,
I think that like one of the things they did a really good job of was not making him a complete monster.
Yes,
like everybody can kind of relate
gave him
to
a
him.
Chance.
Yeah,
like you know.
Yeah, like, there's a certain point where you sort of almost forget that he's blackmailing Simon.
Right.
And you feel, like, sympathy for him, and you want him to kind of, like, get a girl that he likes, or, you know.
Yeah.
And there's, like, the awful moment on the football field.
Oh, dude. And, see, there's so many moments like that, and I have to hand it to actors like this who...
Yeah.
Are obviously so real that, like, if you feel secondhand embarrassment,
yes.
like, that's obviously they're doing their job right.
Yes, totally.
You might not like the feeling. I know a lot of people, like, you know, sure, I get it. But, you know, I kind of savor that uncomfortableness.
Me too.
Like, just because it's like, you know what? This has all to do with me. Like, he's, like, just... He's doing his thing, like,
yeah,
however
like,
misguided it may be.
And
boy, is it.
Oh, God, so much.
She was way too kind. You know what? But good for her, actually. Like, she put him down, like, nicely. Whereas
yeah,
most movies would have her, like,
be a bitch.
Run off.
Yeah,
or
run.
Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think he's a really complex character. He definitely...
Very well done. Like, villains have gotten better. Like, bullies aren't the way they have...
Yeah.
Been in the past, thank God. Like, yeah, we've gotten more creative. Like, thank God.
And that's one thing, too, that I like about this, is they make the bully, like, a character that's not, like, a football player or a basketball
right.
player or a jock. Like, this
yeah.
is, like, a kid that a lot of people were theater kids and can relate to him.
Yep.
And,
right.
like, you know, you can tell that he's, like, got self-confidence problems, which I think everybody can relate to as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I like that they made his character different
right.
than your typical.
And he had lines that you could relate to where he's just like, hey, look, I don't want you to change me. I want you to teach me how
to make her like
to
me
make
or
her like
something.
Me for
yeah.
who I am. Yeah. Or something like that, which is fair. But yeah. And then you find it made so much sense when it turns out he's like a Trump supporter. It was like, oh, yep, there we go. That
there
solidifies
it.
Yep.
Yikes.
As if I didn't hate you enough. There it is.
Right.
And then they did somehow like end him on somewhat of a positive note somehow, too.
Because like I do hope that, you know, if he was a real person, that he would learn from this and like know that kids like him really thrive in college or, like, outside of high school, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't my best in high school. And thank God, because, like, that would have been kind of low, you know?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah,
like, I'm so much of a better person than I was in high school, and I, like, know who I am more, and people like me for who I am instead of me having to pretend to fit into their world, you know?
Or having to blackmail them or something.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, what a monster.
It is, like, so fucked up, right? Yeah. Because you're, like...
That's the one thing that, like, it's almost unbelievable already. Because, like, do kids really do it? Blackmail each other and shit? Yes. It just seems so silly.
It is so... Well, and it's crazy, too, because it's like, you know, like Simon talks about through the film, like, his parents are liberals.
Yeah.
His friends are all very accepting.
It should be easy for him.
But it is, like, his personal choice on when he feels like it's time. And he was, like, thinking about his parents having to, like, yes, they would accept him. Yes, they would love him. But they were going to have to, like, let go of what they thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know? And same with his friends.
Yeah. I'm glad that they kept addressing. It's like, hey, like, they don't dance around the fact that it's like, it's never, like, it goes from things could change to it's like, no, things are going to change.
Yeah.
Like, make peace with that shit. Like, you know.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Did you figure out who Blue was?
I was so glad that it was him. Like,
me too.
Yeah.
I
was really happy.
So
like,
much, Greg.
Because I was like, oh, like, it was a letdown. I was like, oh, damn, I was hoping that it was going to be him. All right, whatever, cool. Because then they do a really good job at, like, misleading you.
Yeah.
And, like, it was smart film technique to have it, because that's what you would do personally. Like, you picture, like, once you latch onto a person in your head, you're like, oh, it could be, oh, it's him. Like, okay, because I can see it now. Okay, yeah, right. This is what he sounds like. Oh, yep, it's got to be him. And then it's not, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it ended up being who it was, though. I was so happy because he's a charming fellow.
He's
and, like,
so good.
Really good.
And he, unlike our main character in real life, he is gay.
See, I was going to, yeah, a little, interesting, huh?
It is.
So our lead actor is playing a gay character, but he is straight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is 2018. We're working on it.
Yeah, and the way... So, it's really complex.
Yeah,
I'm not gay.
Right.
I'm an ally.
Yeah, right.
And I do believe, like, representation really matters.
Right.
But, like, are they going in and asking every person that auditions, like, what's your sexual orientation?
Yeah, right.
Who do you like? Like, I think that they did pick... Like, this actor did a really great job.
Yeah.
And the guy that they picked to play Graham, he wasn't, or Blue, wasn't out yet, but this movie gave him the courage.
Gave him the courage to do it.
And that's so cool.
Yeah. Totally. It is a weird issue. I guess at that point, you kind of leave it up to the ones in the community, I guess.
Yeah.
You kind of have to.
I went on a lot
but
of forums last night. In prep for this, and a lot of them kind of said that thing that I said at first, like, unless they're quizzing people or unless they're going to cast a really famous person that's already out.
Yeah, you gotta be realistic. Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, at least they're making this really cool movie.
Right.
They're not asking people, which, you know.
You still get representation. It's not 100% representation.
Right.
You know, because ideally, for sure, like, you know, of course, we would, like, Simon, yeah, makes sense. We would cast a gay person to play a gay person.
Totally.
It makes total sense. But we have been working on that since the beginning of film.
Totally.
And it just moves a little bit each time, you know.
Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, it's looking good. It's
they're
looking better,
getting better and better, you know? Yeah.
That's not to dismiss the other side, though, because it's valid. Like,
it's
you
valid.
Know what?
Yeah.
That is totally, totally true.
Yes, 100%.
So, and it's just, like, at the end of the day, it's a movie business, so it's, you know, it's faulty already. It's a business, and, like, you know, yeah.
One thing I like about watching Love, Simon again is, like, knowing who Blue is and trying to catch the pieces.
Yeah.
And that's really fun. It makes it rewatchable because this, unlike, you know, it's no secret, I love You've Got Mail. Probably my favorite movie ever.
Of course, I was making that connection. That'll get mentioned again in the connection department. Like, it's got You've Got Mail vibes for
sure. It does. And I like that kind of storytelling where you write back and forth and you fall in love there first. Like, I think that's really fun. Mm-hmm. One thing this had over that, though, was that us as the audience, we were also trying to figure out who is Blue. Like, you know, you're kind of making the connections with Simon the whole time and trying to really piece it together. So it's kind of fun in that way.
It does. I'm more curious and looking forward to Love, Victor now because
it's so good.
It's totally ripe for a show, you know, because that's what you would do. You just stretch it out over the course of a season, right?
Yeah.
And then you just, you know what? It would become the Love series because then next season would be Love somebody else.
Yeah, so they have two seasons of Love, Victor, and both are about Victor right now.
Okay.
But
I stand corrected. I didn't know it had come out already.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. But Victor is from a Latino family.
Cool.
And they are really Catholic.
Hell yeah, that's going to be.
And let me tell you, it just something. So the whole first season is him trying to come.
Opposite. Yeah. Liberal to Catholic. And conservative.
So the whole first season is Victor trying to come to terms with sexuality. And the whole second season is his Catholic family trying to come to terms with his sexuality.
Nice.
And let me just tell you, it's really good.
Nice. That's really good to know. So yeah, it did spawn a series. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. Let's see. Did you know? What?
No, we're good.
Okay. Did you know that this is the first film produced by a major Hollywood studio to feature a gay teenage protagonist?
So I did see that. There have been gay protagonists before, but I don't think they were teenagers.
Right. Because that's why the teenagers were
important. Yep. I did notice that there was a movie that was similar to this back in the 80s.
Wow. Oh yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah, but the stipulation I think is the key word here is teenager.
Major Hollywood studio. So why do you feel like films like this are so important?
I think we've mentioned representation is the important thing. So I think that's the biggest.
Yeah.
Representation, it also
awareness.
Yep, awareness, like, gets the kids more familiar with it. I'm sure, hopefully this emboldens more kids to come forward.
Yeah.
We're trying to progress more, so.
Totally.
It helps that progress.
Yes.
Because movies are, entertainment is huge now.
Yeah.
And we see it in the numbers now. So, yeah.
Totally.
Movies are a major way to do that.
Absolutely.
To help. Yeah.
Now to the favorite questions.
Favorites.
Yay. What was your favorite scene?
Let me see.
I'm not sure.
Favorite scene?
Yes.
My favorite scene was where Simon talks to his mom, played by Jennifer Garner, about coming out. It's the entire speech about waiting to exhale, which was a scene that wasn't even in the original script.
I'm so glad you mentioned this.
What the fuck?
So Jennifer Garner pushed for the scene.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And so that's
and it is
no
moving.
Wonder it stands out because, and she she almost took my greatest supporting performance, but until I realized you really aren't in this movie that much. It's just that one scene that she just takes it all away.
She does, yeah. And then little pieces here and there, but that she scene is so good.
So good, yeah. Damn fine scene.
Favorite performance?
So it is Blue, man. Keenan Lonsdale, I believe his name is.
Keenan.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that kid, I think.
He was also in The Flash.
Really?
The TV show. That was my first introduction to him.
Yeah, sick.
And he played the kid Flash.
Oh my god, are you shitting me? That is so good.
It was so awesome.
I'm glad he's doing major shit.
Yeah. So, he's great. I really like him a lot.
He's charming as hell.
He is. And
super likable.
So likable, yeah. And there's just something about him. It's his charisma.
He's gonna be hell, I don't know. Robin, Batman, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Superman, shit.
He could
I'd buy it all. He's very athletic.
Oh, yeah, he's great. What's your favorite quote?
It's kind of a long one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Said by Miss Albright. Don't hey Miss Albright me. We're not friends. You're not going to braid my hair or paint my nails. Get your ass off the table right now, you sweaty hormonal virgins. You know what? You're about to be suspended for so long that by the time it's over, you're going to be fat, bald, unhappily married, wildly mediocre nobodies you're destined to become.
Yeah.
And then there's a follow-up, but yeah, that pretty much
fuck yeah
gets the point across. That's my kind of theater director.
Totally. She's awesome.
Kind of had a theater director like that. Sort of. Like.
Sort of, yeah. Totally. No, she's great and
it's all
awesome
right. She
teacher.
Was a good teacher.
Yeah.
Again, very accurate for a theater director.
Totally.
It's like, I will cast people regardless of talent.
Awesome. Would Love you it. Rewatch and recommend?
So, once again, rewatch is kind of hard. I would rewatch it. It's not something I will be racing to rewatch, though.
Same.
Because it's a coming-of-age story, and because high school movies are tough, like, mm-hmm. as much as I love them, it's hard to return to just because it does feel very much of, it's like, okay, that's for the...
Right.
That's for the other kids. But I would rewatch it once in a while.
Yeah, I think I've probably only seen it twice.
To feel the feels, maybe.
Yeah. And the second time was really just to, like, watch
for
to
the
see,
show no
no to like see the little subtle hints at who Blue was
oh yeah
through the whole nice. Time was fun
yeah,
but yeah I
fun.
Think I've only seen it two or three times
and it's well filmed too like again like it uses cinematic techniques that are great like you know so that's what sets it apart from being just another coming of age story
yeah.
or you know just another gay movie if you want to go there no it takes some like good storytelling techniques to I just love how it misleads you with the
totally
with the visions of different people yeah
I read a lot of forums about the main character of Simon and, like, how a lot of gay people really appreciated him because he wasn't your typical more flamboyant, like...
Yes, yeah.
And how great it was to see that represented in a quote-unquote, like, average Joe. Like,
sure.
I don't know how else to word that properly.
Because that's, again, like, here's what we're... It's so weird that... The thing that we are grappling with right now is, like, just accepting the idea that, yeah, gay people are people. So,
every type of person.
So they're like, you know, they can be, yeah, like, super flamboyant like that, or, not. Or,
totally.
Like, fat, or, like, out of shape, or in shape, you know, athletic, you know.
Fashionable,
together,
not fashionable.
Introverted,
yeah.
extroverted. Like, this is what we're grappling with. It's so funny. Like, I frequently come up with that word because being straight, like that's frequently what we use to describe it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, this is what we're grappling with.
Totally.
It's just so ridiculous that at the end of the day, it's so simple. Like they just want to be treated like people, accepted as people.
Yeah.
Like, nuanced
they
and complex.
People. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the last thing I have here is just a little piece of trivia.
Ah.
Actors like Kristen Bell, Neil Patrick Harris, Matt Bomer, Tyler Oakley, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Jennifer...
I don't know about Kristen Bell. Of course, Kristen Bell. What doesn't she advocate for?
And Jennifer Garner, who starred in this, or was in it, and many, many more were so moved by this film that they bought out theaters in their hometowns. So that the film would reach as many people as possible.
See, again, like, that's rich people using their money for good.
Yeah.
Like, this is how capitalism can work. Ugh.
Neil Patrick
feel
Harris,
gross saying
like,
it, but, you know, like, there you go. That's, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris said that movies like this would have changed his life if he were young and, like, still grappling with it. Grappling.
Oh, for sure.
Stealing your word.
yeah, no, see. See, well, see, Neil Patrick Harris uses it too, so I guess it's not just a straight thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, awesome. Rate it. What would you rate it?
Yeah, really good. So 4.5.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, 4.5.
Awesome.
And the only the only reason it doesn't get the full 5, I think, is just because of the secondhand cringe stuff, I guess. Like, you know.
The stuff that you love so, and hate.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
Exactly. And Josh Duhamel, like... Good on that character for being a believably, like...
Yeah, I love Josh Duhamel as an actor.
They kept, like, making you wonder, it's like, oh, God, how homophobic
really?
Is he? Like, you know, and Yeah, he did a really good job at, like,
he did a good job. Yeah, I was really impressed.
But then in the end, he's accepting. It was good.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give too much away, but in Love, Victor, he makes a few appearances because he leads, because Victor lives in the town that Simon's from.
Right.
And he leads, like, a parents' group for kids who are coming out and, like, how, as parents, you can support
badass.
Them. Yeah,
oh,
it's pretty cool.
That's sweet.
I
no
love
Jennifer
it.
Garner, though.
No, she's too big.
Yeah,
she's too big to make
whatever.
Appearances.
No, yeah, that's true.
But also, I think that they did that on purpose because his character was the one that
he
you were like
growth.
A
he
little bit
the,
nervous
yeah.
about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he needs the growth. That was smart of them, actually. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So
it's like, no, he's cool.
He's cool, guys.
Yeah, overall, and then just some connections I made. Like there are the thing about some of these comedies, and especially these hip comedies that come out these days. They're very, like, reference heavy, so there's frequent connections
Tons,
made, but
yeah.
some of the ones that stand out are, like, Wonder Woman, like, Abby dresses as Wonder Woman at some point. The You've Got Mail connection, like, it just in tone in the exchange of emails feels very You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels is mentioned as a big point. It's kind of where, yeah. Harry Potter, of course.
I was gonna say
Harry Potter is like the new Star Wars in a lot of ways, like in that way. Like you reference Harry Potter now when most movies would have referenced
Star Wars. That's true.
Game of Thrones is a big thing.
Yeah.
Jon Snow fan and so on and so forth.
That was fun.
I got some I Love You Beth Cooper vibes, like particularly when like Martin like does that big announcement, like that reminded me of I Love You Beth Cooper. There's other movies that have done this. Like
maybe
Say Anything or
yes,
there's
say
been
anything
a few movies like this.
Yeah.
The Confession, the
mm-hmm.
maybe Heath Ledger kind of did that, but that was with Song in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
You know? And then the song I Wanna Dance with Somebody was featured in 13 Going on 30 featuring Jennifer Garner.
Love her.
There you go.
Love her so
much. There's some connections.
Can't wait to give you that movie. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming soon.
To a theater near you.
I wish. I would pay so much money to go see that in the movie theater.
Might come back to the Hollywood. We'll see it.
Oh, I would love to. I would love that very much. Awesome. Well, that's all I had for that. Are we ready for my synopsis?
All right. Yes, we are ready for your synopsis of Aliens.
Okay. Aliens is a movie about Lieutenant Ripley, Sigourney Weaver. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who was found after floating in space for 57 years, give or take. She tries to warn everybody about some scary aliens and ends up going with some Marines to fight against these creatures. They're in way over their heads as the aliens have completely taken over. There is one little girl, Newt. I love that name. who seems to be the lone survivor from her colony. Will these Marines, with their special guns, be able to take down these aliens?
Oh, these special guns. Man, these fucking guns that they make such a big deal about. They're
special
pretty badass
guns.
Like, I didn't grow up during this time, but I have a feeling like that was big. It's like, man, I want a fucking gun like that I can mount on myself that's basically a Steadicam. That I have to move around.
Man.
So, Aliens!
Aliens!
Like,
a James Cameron film.
A good entry point, though, just in general. Like, are you familiar with this franchise at all? Like, you haven't seen Alien?
No, but...
You've seen Prometheus, though, haven't you?
Yeah. Prometheus I've seen. And also, like, you know, growing up, you see a lot of clips, especially in the 90s, of, like, that scene from Alien, the first one with the thing coming out of the stomach or whatever.
They get their own name,
face huggers or...
Face huggers and then chest puncher, like...
So I was familiar in that way, but, like, it's definitely not my typical kind of movie.
Right.
Right.
Because it's very based in horror, and horror is not my go-to.
Mine either. I do, like, I occasionally enjoy watching a horror film. Especially a jump one, because usually I can pretty much make fun of those the whole time, because they're pretty cheesy, usually kind of funny. You always know when something scary is going to happen because the music picks up.
Yeah. Or it goes silent.
Yeah. Then you really know. The things that, like, mess with me more are the thrill, like the suspenseful thrillers, like those are usually more intense for me because they kind of get into your brain a little bit.
Yeah, right. Like, what would be some, an example of that?
So some people don't even consider these scary, by the way. So I'm a weird person, but my go-to on this is What Lies Beneath.
Okay, okay, yeah. Black Swan?
Black Swan is a great one. What Lies Beneath gave me nightmares, though, because I was like, I love taking baths, and that scene where she, like, her husband gives her the paralyzing shot, and she's stuck about to drown in the bathtub.
Oh, that's fucked. Yeah.
Dude. And her husband is played by
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, you guys. And he was my
idol. What a twist.
Like, I love him very much from Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Damn.
So that movie really fucked me over. But
Is that Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Wow. And I love her.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to lie. But it definitely, definitely scared me more than any scary movie I saw growing up.
Right.
But, you know. I mean, that is enough to scare anybody, right? Yeah,
so those are more those are harder for you, you say?
Yeah, I maybe enjoy them a little more.
But you like them more? Okay.
But, like, they terrify me.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, monster flicks, not so
Not so scary to me. Like, really just, like...
What about, like, Paranormal Activities? Like, the found footage style, the...
Those are fun.
Trying to make it look real.
Those are fun, and those, like, also...
Or, like, The Conjuring. Wasn't that kind of a blend of the two?
Yes.
I like Conjuring a lot.
The Conjuring was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like things like that. Cause, like,
but not your go-to.
No, not my go-to. Maybe, like, during the month of October, I like to watch, like, a scary movie each week.
Okay.
Cause
if
I
anything,
think it's
fun. You would say you like thrillers, though, perhaps.
I definitely think suspenseful thrillers are more the ones that stick with me.
Okay.
I really liked Black Swan, too. That was a
Black
great
Swan's
movie.
Great. Like, that's artsy enough that you kind of get lost in that. I can never watch the stupid thing with the... Yep, we
I know,
all know.
The fingernail.
The fucking fingernail. Nobody can. Like, he did it too good. He did it too good.
Too good.
Ugh.
Too good.
Because we've all had those things.
Oh, yeah. And and that has... what's her
name?
Natalie Portman and...
yes.
Mila, right?
Mila
Kunis.
Kunis.
I love her so much.
Great. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So, great. So, we've got your history with aliens. Did you find Sigourney Weaver to be a compelling lead?
Yes.
How does this compare to other roles you may associate her with? So, what is your connection with Sigourney Weaver? Oh, really? So, Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know off the top of my head.
She was in Avatar. So she does have that.
See, I've only seen Avatar. I saw it like 2 times, I think, in the theater both times. And to me, the thing that stuck out was like the CGI beautiful, which is cool. I mean, it's like
it
a very
beautiful.
Visually beautiful movie.
It was
and
immersive.
So that's what
we were like.
Totally.
Yeah.
I will like James Cameron films, you know. My favorite is Titanic.
We'll get to those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get there. Oh, yeah. Gorillas in the Mist. I loved her in that movie.
Oh, who does she play? Does she play Jane Goodall?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've seen that? Interesting.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't seen that.
Huh. I watched it in school.
Nice.
Yeah.
I probably
in elementary school.
It in school
too. But yeah, no. So...
She's a good actress.
I thought she was really great. I think she is a very compelling... I didn't see the first movie. I didn't see Alien.
Yes, that's true, right.
But in Aliens, I thought she really rocked the whole line of being, like, maternal towards Newt, who needed a mom. Plus, I...
See, I consider this a Mother's Day movie.
Interesting. But she's also, like, this cool feminist badass... Which is
She's
really
fun. She's the smartest one in the room at all times.
All times. All times. We'll get to my favorite line in a little bit,
yeah,
but that's...
I think I know the one. It's probably my favorite line.
I have two favorites,
yeah,
but yes.
Good, good. It deserves it. Because, yeah, she's... Yeah, you're right. She's... It's interesting, because she even... In the beginning of the movie, I think she even says the line where it's like, I'm not a soldier. Like,
right.
You know, that's not her thing. Like,
right.
She's a lieutenant, but, like, on a spaceship. Like, you know, that's her specialty.
Right.
So
totally.
it makes it extra cool that she develops into, it's like, you never would have known. It's like, by the end of the movie, you're like,
no,
not
a
soldier.
Yeah. Totally.
I call bullshit, m'lady.
M'lady.
Awesome. So, this is a James Cameron movie.
Yeah.
How does it stack up to Titanic or Avatar? I think those are the only other James Cameron movies you've seen.
Terminator.
Oh, you've seen Terminator, but not Terminator 2.
Not Terminator 2.
Interesting. Man.
Fascinating.
And then what about True Lies?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, interesting. You might... It's okay.
I like the other
and
ones.
And then The Abyss.
Haven't seen that one either.
And me neither.
Nobody has.
I don't like, yeah.
Titanic, like, has a very special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It is my first introduction to anything in the romance world was Titanic. My niece Sierra and I, my mom used to have a babysitting space and like sometimes we would put Titanic on, but we had two VHSs because it couldn't be on one VHS.
Two tapes. Yep.
And we would like watch it. Well, part of it was I was in love with Leonardo DiCaprio, like every young girl is, right? I mean, and boy, like he is just so gorgeous in that movie. And Kate Winslet is fantastic. And
hell yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make this a Titanic podcast, but I love all the details that go into that film. Like, I know that people call James Cameron pretentious for it, but like, love seeing the details in that and then looking at the textbooks. Like, it's just so freaking...
The dude loves the Titanic. He was a fan of Titanic for years before he made that movie.
It is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story. And, you know, I love that he, like, made the movie about it and also, like, gave all these characters, you know, these fake characters, like, really compelling stories so that you were just really involved. And, like, everybody
knows... You
make
it sound like it's about more than just Jack and Rose.
It is.
How dare you? Granted, full disclaimer. Like, I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
No, it definitely is. And it's about... Really, Titanic is about class.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a bunch of... Let those rich people go down.
The rich people and the poor people who are on the bottom decks trying to... keep everything
together.
Yeah, they're the ones that are, and they have like the funnest party scene in Titanic is like when she goes with Jack and they do
the
spinning
on her tiptoes.
Oh, it's so good. Me and
see
Sierra,
that's the thing, I don't think I need to see the movie.
I mean, not really. I'm not going to assign it to you.
Not yet. That's season two.
But season two, I cannot.
I hear nothing but good things.
Yeah, I can't watch it and not just, like, be absolutely compelled. Mm-hmm. Compelled is the right word for it.
Because it's on multiple levels once again, too, because it's also visually compelling because of all the different techniques being utilized.
And so heart-wrenching on so many levels. Not just the fear of all these people are going to die in this horrific way, and in the back of your brain, you know it's real. Mm-hmm. You know that
it
actual people died this way.
And they do show you the horrors of what it was like.
It's absolutely insane. But also just, the beauty of it. It's filmed beautifully. I think he does a really good job with that.
Of course. He's very...
He's a visual...
So that's the other thing. It's so... Titanic, Avatar, this now. What would the rankings be?
Sorry. It's going to be Titanic, Avatar, and then Aliens. But I liked Aliens.
Yeah.
No, I found it super enjoyable.
And you talked about the visual aspects. Did you notice any connections between this and... Yeah. Could you make any connections between Aliens... and Avatar, a little easier to make those connections, and say Titanic.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you could tell that Aliens was made by the same guy that made Titanic?
I think so, because, like, you know, in the height of the fear in both films, like, it has that same feeling, right?
Okay.
Like, these guys
are...
He does
the tension well.
He does the tension really well, and he does the humanity is, like, scared that they're all gonna die from something well.
Right.
Like, in Aliens, it's...
The action has stakes, unlike most action movies.
Totally. It makes it inevitably way more watching for me. Easy
True.
To watch.
That's what separates him from other action movies, I guess.
Yeah.
It makes him the... Yeah.
He was, like... I did a little bit of reading before this, and he was, like, hated by the crew.
Yeah. Makes sense. He usually is.
Well, because they were, like...
Oh, different movie.
Mad that he wasn't British. They were mad... that the first guy, I'm sorry, I don't
Ridley
know.
Ridley Scott.
Yes, they were mad that he didn't get to direct the second film.
Of course. See, yeah, that's
And
tough.
So most of them had ties with him, and they were all really mean to James Cameron, like super mean.
It is true. It is a good story, actually.
Yeah.
Because he did have to endure a lot.
He did. And he, like, so he tried, I read that he tried to, like, he rented out a movie theater, and he, like, invited everybody to come watch Terminator, because they all thought that he was, like, not a good director. They were like, you're a nobody. that none of them had seen Terminator.
And it's true, at this point, he had not done a lot of movies.
So he, like, rented out a movie theater.
He hadn't made Titanic yet.
Right.
So they were
like...
Terminator was even mixed, yo.
Yeah, like, you know. And so he, like, rented out a theater, and he was gonna have them watch Terminator, and I guess only, like, three of them showed up.
Well, bless those three people.
Yeah, so one of them was
you could see how, though, where it does come across as pretentious, though, too, where it's just like,
I know.
This fucking guy. Yeah, well,
I'm
gonna go over and watch his movie.
He couldn't win. There was no way he could win here.
Yeah,
but, like,
exactly.
One of the people.
But I feel for him.
Yeah, one of the people who was, like, an ally to him was, like, one of the production designers, and he actually continued to, like, get him jobs throughout his career. So, like, in Titanic, he had him do some of the production designing.
See, yeah.
In Titanic.
Nice.
So I'm like, well, at least he rewarded, like, the people who were nice to
that's
him.
That's how you do it. Like, see, that's, yeah, it's a business, folks.
It is.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, I do feel for him. And
I've got
my feelings about James Cameron. I am kind of a little more in the camp of the people that seem definitely thinks highly of himself. This dude's made 5 movies and he's... Yeah, sitting too high, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
Plus,
like, Titanic, how many movies had he made when he made Titanic?
Right, like, 3, 4? See,
that's
the thing.
Like,
I'm not kidding. Like, he has made, like, 5, that's it.
And his,
like,
name is super
films,
known, yeah.
And, yeah.
But he, like, I would have definitely thought that he was pretentious, too, because Titanic is, like, he did a huge production.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
I do, and see, that's the thing, is I think audience, he is a, so they, you know, they have, oh, he's an actor's filmmaker, he's an actor's director, he's a writer's director, he's a director's director. James Cameron is an audience's director.
Totally.
Yeah.
He is, because, like, his movies are really good. I really like them.
My favorite phrase is, like, James Cameron, the next James Cameron movie will be the greatest movie we've ever seen, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it goes.
It is,
like,
yeah, that's great.
It is an inevitability. he is Thanos in that way.
Oh, no.
So you did notice the connection, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And you appreciated it for what it was.
I did, yeah.
What did you think of Newt?
Newt.
Because, you know, I like a good kid protagonist. Like,
me too. I think,
you know,
she was really cute and
sidekick.
Had been, like, through some fucking trauma.
Mm.
And, like, I liked that her and Ripley, like, connected the way that they did. Because, like, we learn in
surrogate
the beginning.
Mother.
That Ripley's daughter died while she was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Newt, like, unfortunately, like, basically saw her parents die.
Right. Yeah.
And
horrible
so
deaths.
There's some, you know, there's totally combined trauma
there. They
mostly
come at night. Mostly.
Yeah. And then her little doll named Casey. Love it.
That was just ahead. One of my favorite details is when Sigourney Weaver, like, it's like, oh, no, nothing
it's
in there. Anyway,
I think it's gonna be in one of my favorite things.
So you did like Newt. Interestingly enough, Newt, that actress, didn't
do
make
anything
else.
I saw that. I looked her up because I was like,
I love stories like that, though, because, like, you know what, you did right. You're like,
yeah, you
made
your
impression. Yep, made your money, and she collects residuals.
Hell yes,
mad residuals.
I'm sure this has, like, a
it's
huge
popular.
Yeah, rating on
it is
Rotten
on
Tomatoes.
So for me, like, a lot of people, like, it goes back. It honestly is on the same level for me as T2. Like, and that's not being, like, snobbish or, like, weird or pretentious. I really do. I really like Aliens. I think it's really strong. Like,
it
I think
is
it's
strong
a really
on its own. And I didn't have to see the first movie.
To me,
like,
it's more of a military movie than
totally.
It is even a horror movie. Though it does still have the horror
it's
movie
a little
elements
scary,
to
yeah.
it. Like, you know,
Josh, like, didn't watch it with me this week, and he came out when I was about halfway done with it, and I said you should have watched it because he likes movies like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he likes action movies and he likes military movies. Wait. More than I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is, like, a good representation of that, so.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, I read that sometimes James would yell cut, but he would keep filming.
Yeah.
And so the camaraderie that you see between the Marines, some of that was, like, them filming after they said cut.
Yeah, some of my favorite is Vasquez and, oh damn, I forget his soldier's name, but the one who dies early on.
Oh, yeah.
I liked their chemistry a lot.
Totally.
Are you gonna look into any more alien movies?
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Same here. Like, I had hopes, like, when Prometheus came out, there were such high hopes,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw it and it was
fine.
Not,
yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
Because it's the same movie every time.
Yeah, I'm good.
And then what do you think about the concept of colonizing space?
Yikes.
Would you go?
If I had no choice. Like if Earth was exploding.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sure. See, but it's got to be that. It's like if it comes down to like, we would never get the choice.
Right.
Because it's going to be a rich people thing, right? Like we all see that coming. It's like, oh.
Bye, guys.
Cool. It's going to be more like that movie Elysium with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Elysium. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So, it's starting to look more feasible. Again, like, we're doing this at a time when, like,
it just, like, really,
billionaires are going to space.
Yes.
It's really concerning. I don't like that. Space exploration is very fascinating. It helps us technologically and stuff. I think we spend I'm just saying a little too much. Just a little too much, that's all.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Like, I feel like as a world, we should all put into the pot and we should all work together on space exploration because it doesn't need to be like a
it's a competition between countries and stuff.
And to me that's like a big reason why the money's being wasted.
Because
they're like rushing to try to beat, you know,
Asia
or Russia or, you know.
This is an example of capitalism not working.
right because that is the thing. You're like, okay,
free
say
market.
They do, you know, colonize space, like which countries are going to get to go or, you know, like things like that. Like,
right.
It's just too complicated, but no, bullshit. I would definitely rather stay. I love Earth.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Pretty great.
It's a great place to live.
Been good to me.
I'm good.
Yeah.
It reminds me too much of like the Hunger Games. I mean, I know they didn't go to space, but like the colonizing.
That was
like,
the next
that...
step.
Hunger Games in space. and Divergent. Like too many dystopian books that I've read are like.
We're finally getting a little bit away from that.
The dystopian?
Yeah. Mm. Well, because we live in it. So we're just like. So it becomes less fantastical.
It is one of those things.
Like,
yeah. That's upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not even like, oh, a dystopian future. It's like, oh,
so
look,
anytime things are like
now.
Colonized like that, I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't like it. Like, exactly. That's the other thing is it would be colonization. I think we tried colonization.
Yeah,
it didn't work really well. cool. So yeah, those were my basic questions. So now we come to the favorite questions.
Whoop.
Favorite performance by a supporting character.
Newt, played by
Carrie
Henn.
Of course, Newt.
She's so cute, and she's so spunky, and, like, she, like, knows so much. She's, like, the person that, you know, she's like, okay, well, which way is this? Which way is that? And Newt knows, because she lived there. It's good that they had her. They're
she's
lucky.
A good authority figure. A good sidekick. A good, like, a good Short Round. Like, her
totally.
And Short Round are the two coolest, like, sidekick
Yeah,
characters.
Totally.
What'd you think of Bill Paxton's scaredy cat character? Like, that would have been me in this. We're finished. Game over, man.
Everybody's gonna die.
We're dead.
Totally.
Bill Paxton, I can't believe that's the guy from Mighty Joe Young and
totally
Tombstone and stuff.
Yeah, he was awesome.
So favorite quote.
So I've got two. All
right.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away? So that was by Ripley.
That's a good one.
And then it's closely followed by Newt saying, she doesn't have bad dreams because she's made of plastic. She's referring to her doll, Casey.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's the part I was talking about where she's like, nope, nothing in there. No bad dreams in there. It's like, what a cute detail for her to like look
so
in
great.
The doll.
Like, it was so great.
Those scenes were great between them.
Totally. And I know that they got criticism for that, but it was because... Mm. So when this first came out, they had to cut two big scenes to make it a friendly 140 minutes or something. Because
it's
really long. It's
pretty
like
long.
2.5 hours.
That is your complaint, I'm guessing.
It
is a little long. Because the problem is, honestly, it's a lot of that slow-mo that he loves to do.
He does. And he likes long movies. He does. All of his movies are fucking long. But.
And part of me is, it's so weird because it's like, do I really want to sacrifice? Because he built the world so beautifully is the other thing. It's
that
like,
is
this
what I was
world
gonna
exists.
Say. Yeah, like, that is what I was going to say. It's like one of the scenes they had to cut out was early on when Ripley found out, you know, she's asking about her daughter and then she finds out her daughter's dead. So if you saw this movie and you didn't see that and all you saw is her being like super motherly to this little girl and you didn't know that she had a daughter that died, you know, that wouldn't feel quite right. Right. We have this whole perception of her character in the beginning.
Right.
Because, you know, we find out her daughter died and her daughter was only 11, you know, when she left.
I see.
When she went to sleep. So, like, this movie got criticism for her being, like a surrogate mother to Newt. But, like, knowing that information about her, you know, because I saw the full extended version, obviously. Knowing that information, like, it's important. And I'm glad that he didn't cut it out for the extended. It's the extended version or whatever, but... I'm glad that that got put back in because it is important.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, people might not criticize it if they had seen that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so favorite scene.
So I couldn't really choose. I just said it's too hard to choose any scene where Ripley, Weaver, stands up for what's right. Because, like, any time that she was, like, taking lead... And, like, standing up for herself was really good to me.
See, my favorite quote is, like, I think she says, like, well, Jesus, so-and-so, like, I don't know who's worse. At least they're not fucking each other over a percentage.
Yes,
like,
totally. Yeah, she's just, I would follow her. Like, she is a good leader. Like, exactly. She was awesome.
She kept telling him, get him out of there.
Yeah, and nobody was taking her quite seriously enough.
Yeah, no way.
In the beginning, too, when she's trying to warn everybody about the aliens, and they all kind of laugh at her. That was a good scene, like, and she's just like, fuck all of you, and they're like, we're gonna suspend your license, and then they're like, can you help us?
Yeah, right.
So good.
Typical.
Yeah.
Awesome, and then would you rewatch or recommend?
I would recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's good.
Yeah.
Rewatch would be hard for me because it is long, it's very long, and it is like kind of out of my wheelhouse of things that. Because
it is very
generally
like,
for me, like military. Rewatching is going to be something that either makes me cry really hard or laugh really hard. Mm. Like those are my two kind of qualifiers for a good rewatch. So like
you
I
don't
might
watch a movie for a good time. Just for a good
I need to like, feel
no,
things.
No, I want to cry or I want to laugh. That's
I can't
it.
Feel things, but
no, I don't
want
to have a good time.
To feel things. Or simple nostalgia, which is, you know,
any
a curse.
Little Women.
That's like such a rewatchable film, though. My cat is going crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so
yeah, but
not so much a rewatch,
like,
maybe.
Potentially, like, it could be one that, oh, I see it on, I might leave it on while I'm doing chores, right. And I might glance over and, like,
but
be
not
like
a yearly rewatch or anything like that.
Probably not. Yeah,
for sure. But you would recommend, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Good deal. Perfect. So, did you make any connections to other movies, perhaps, with this?
Sure. So, obviously, Alien, the first movie, The Aliens, video game, Prometheus.
Prometheus. Nice.
Is set in the same universe. It's not a direct prequel, but kind of is. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had.
Nice.
And then I have a connection for the two.
All right.
That's
so
really
yeah,
broad.
Let's move on to making the connections between the two movies,
connections.
Then. Connections.
So, my connection's really broad, like I said. Mm-hmm. So, both Simon and Ripley feel out of place.
Okay.
Ripley, because she lost 57 years and knows absolutely nobody. and then Simon, because nobody really knows him, because he hasn't let anybody know his full self.
There we go.
So, through both films, we kind of watch them find their place.
Okay. Yeah, right. So both outsiders.
Yeah.
You know? Great. So both do feature references to the movie Alien. It turns out that good old Martin has an Alien poster his room.
That's amazing. I didn't even notice.
So luckily, like, I was happy with that. It's like, okay, we're good then. We have a connection.
We have the
there
connection.
There we go.
We're done. Wash your hands
but
of
then,
it.
But then, exactly. I was like, okay, and then everything else from here is just bonus because that's a clear, like, that is a connection.
Yeah.
So both do feature characters who impose their own nickname on people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Newt. Like, call me Newt. And, you know, obviously the aliases through the emails.
Yes.
And both feature a double cross.
Yes. Know,
Martin double crosses and then that stupid asshole corporate guy double crosses Ripley.
Totally.
both of these did spawn series. You have Love, Victor, based off of, I know, Love, Simon. And then you have, there is going to be an Aliens television series in production. Yeah.
So, what?
I know.
Interesting.
Yeah. And for real, I'm fascinated that Aliens is such a franchise. It's not really a, like, it's pretty cool, but not really a world I want to explore too much. Like,
same.
It's a dangerous fucking place.
Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm.
You know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but I'm curious.
Yeah. Because the alien, the xenomorph aliens are a cool design. I will give them that.
Totally. They're awesome.
Have you ever seen Alien versus Predator?
No.
So, like, there's Alien versus Predator. I rooted for Alien. Like, I'm an Alien guy, not a Predator guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Cool. So we did manage to make some connections.
We did.
This has been great.
Yeah. That's part of my week.
So, if you can think of any connections or just want to reach out to us and talk about the podcast or any ideas or what's going on with you, you can always send us an email.
Yeah. That's going to be at movieconnectionpodcast.
There we go.
At gmail.com. Sorry,
boom,
guys.
We also do have an Instagram, The Movie Connection, all one word, which you can follow us at, and we're always posting information and new episodes and stuff like that. But you can also follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at KC Schwartz.
I also do frequently do other reviews, which I post on Letterboxd. Oh, by the way, I already said that. How many stars out of 5 would you give Aliens?
Oh, yeah, 4.
4, solid, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, solid 4.
As I was saying, I post on Letterboxd. I'm on there at Jacob Bean Watson. And like, just to give you an idea, like this week I've been watching so many movies, so little time. We got No Sudden Move, which is the new Steven Soderbergh movie. Clan of the White Lotus, which was a bonkers martial arts movie. Irrational Man. Hedgehog. Which stars Madeline Brewer, who just got an Emmy nomination for her role in The Handmaid's Tale.
Ayo.
Boogie Nights, White Heat, Permanent Midnight, just to name a few.
Yeah.
So check that out. Let's see. So email, Instagrams, and now it is time for recommendations.
Yeah.
What do you got, Casey?
I'm going to recommend Loki.
Uh-oh.
I'm doing it.
She's watching Loki.
I fought the wants to recommend it this whole time. We finished it.
You wanted to make sure that it was good.
Right. And we're it was all just kind of like, you know, I like to try to recommend things I don't think people are watching or reading.
Yeah, true.
And I'm sure everybody's watching Loki. But the thing is like, we watched the last episode yesterday.
I hear that it was amazing.
And it was amazing. And it was so good.
Confirmed for a second season.
Yes. And I think this is the perfect Marvel TV show. Because, like, I can't even describe it. It's just great. You know, Tom Hiddleston,
yep, great. Yep.
Is amazing. And, you know, everybody's so phenomenal in it. Owen Wilson, great job. So impressed with him continuously. And then, you know, something I really love, too, is, like, sorry, I didn't know her name, so I had to pull her up. But Sophia Di Martino.
As a selfie, or...
Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's the
Sylvie,
girl.
I mean.
She's the girl Loki.
Lady Loki.
Sylvie. Yeah. And Sylvie, she's yeah. so good.
Yep.
And she talked about how she was, like, breastfeeding during production.
That's crazy. Yeah, and they had special,
yeah,
like,
the
costume made
designers were, like, putting hidden zippers in so that it would be easy for her to breastfeed. And I was like, look how far we've come.
Yep.
Amazing.
That's progress for you.
And
see,
also,
that's Disney doing it right.
It is. And also, like, I love that they're shouting out the costume designers because you don't hear about them as much from the public.
Huh.
So as somebody that likes fashion and sewing and stuff, I think that it's so cool to appreciate
nice.
Those people.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Great show. Highly
good
recommend
to know.
It.
And what's it called again?
What is it called? Loki.
Loki. Got it.
Right.
Available on Disney Plus.
He's such a complicated character.
Yeah, I mean, it's Loki. See, that's the thing. It's a rich character for that type of stuff because he's fucking Loki from myth.
Yeah, he's so...
Disney, I'm worried about Disney trying to do their bullshit again, though, with, like, trying to trademark Loki or some shit.
Oh, I would be pissed.
Oh.
No, Loki... cannot be trademarked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can have Loki Loki of the Marvel Universe and then Loki the God.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with him. Don't be blasphemous.
Yeah, don't, please. What's your recommendation?
I am recommending Enlightened, which is an HBO original show available on HBO Max. It's from a few years ago. It's starring Laura Dern, and it looks like Jason Mantzoukas makes a guest appearance.
I love him.
And I love Laura Dern. She was the mom in Little Women.
She's great.
And she's also from Jurassic Park, like so many other things.
She's an amazing actress.
And it's pretty good so far. It's 30-minute episodes, so
that.
I think you would like it. It's very much kind of in the vein of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Love that.
It's about a woman who has a nervous breakdown and then gets self-help and is trying to cope.
Yeah, this sounds like my kind of show.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it.
Casey
and again, 30-minute episodes.
Casey loves to see nervous breakdowns.
Nice little pieces.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's really good. So yeah, check
great.
It out.
Enlightened.
Enlightened. And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for. We're going to assign each other movies to watch for next week. So tune in for these. And since it is the summer, we did this thing back when we had this other podcast called Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah.
We did a whole summer of sequels, and it was just Disney animated sequels, and boy, was it a summer. We want to do some sequels for just for 1 week. So we're going to assign each other a sequel. It could be a 2, a 3, or a 4. It could be anywhere in a franchise.
Yeah.
So, Casey, I'll start it all out. I hope you like Turtles, because you're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Which came out in the 90s, and you know we were all about the ooze in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I thought about giving you number 3, but I think you'll have more fun with 2. So. You have seen the first one, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Long ass time ago.
Long ass time ago.
And then what do I get? I'm nervous about this one. I hope you
don't
hate it.
Is it what I think it is?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Magic Mike XXL.
Oh, shit. Oh, I don't even get to deal with Magic Mike.
I can't wait for next episode.
So is this the second one?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
There's only
two. That's so funny because Magic Mike just got put on my watch list.
It did?
Yeah.
So the first one's great.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard pretty good things about it.
The second one is just a wild, fun ride. It's a very fun movie.
All right.
And I think it's mostly, it's feminist, first of all. There's a huge feminist behind, you know.
Oh, great. Okay, so maybe in some ways it's a little better than the first one in that way.
Yes. And then the second thing that I like about it more than the first one is, like, the male friendship aspect that you see in this film.
Good.
And the guys supporting each other and supporting, like, loving your body.
Great.
So, I mean, that's why I'm assigning it to you, so
cool.
You don't have to ask.
No,
but
I like it. And is it the same director, do you know? Or?
You know, I don't know.
Okay, but did a lot of the same people come back?
Yes, all the strippers came back.
Good deal. All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Male exotic
so we got,
dancers.
You know what? I think we're going to find some connections here. We got Magic Mike, XXL, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
The Secret of the Ooze. I am so excited for this.
Gonna
this
really
is going to
be really
fun. See, this is a fun week, everybody.
We have two really fun movies.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Stay safe. Stay cool. Stay cool. Bye for now.
Bye.